Galesburg District 205 School Board met last night, voted on the new boundaries for the schools when we changed to just three grade schools starting next year. And joining us to talk more about that meeting and construction of more is Galesburg District 205 Superintendent Dr. John Asplund. Dr. Asplund, good morning. How are you today?
I am wonderful. Good morning.
Thanks for coming in with us here this morning. Big meeting last night. Nick and I were talking off the air yesterday. It's like, man, no telling how late this thing's going to go. There's going to be lots and lots of public comment, but
not so much.
Right.
Not so much. No. Apparently people were satisfied, I guess.
Well, I mean, the comments we got last night were in favor of the new boundaries, and we had a big crowd early on at the board meeting, but that was a lot of the parents and students that we honored as part of our Illinois Music Educators honor choir and band, and so we're always happy to honor those kids. And then after that part was over, the crowd got decidedly smaller. So yeah, the meeting was over before 9.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so my one complaint with the map itself, I can't get it big enough to actually see street names.
Yeah.
When I got it, would start pixelating when I got it big enough. I was like, okay, I would be able to see them. They're all pixelated. So one of the boundary between Steele and Silas through what looks like the middle of town, which pretty much is North Broad Street.
Yep.
North to Carl Sandburg Drive takes a jog, and then Lincoln Park Drive.
Correct.
South, it will go to, Monmouth Boulevard?
Monmouth Boulevard, yep.
Okay, so then after that, then coming south off of that, where it turns to the Steele District, what road would that, or I'm sorry, not Steele, to the King School, where that connects, where would that be south of it?
Oh, you have me at a disadvantage. Okay. I have to look at it. I don't have the streets memorized on every single one of them here.
Trying to remember.
Let's see. As we go down to King here, well, down here at the bottom, it's out in the country.
Oh, okay.
So it's out there.
Including Lake Bracken.
Lake Bracken will go to King. And then basically Silas Willard, if you live in the country south of town, almost entirely, those people would either go to Steele or King.
Okay.
The north rural folks would either go to Silas or Steele. And if you live in Henderson, you'd go to Silas.
Okay.
And there's another map, that not this one we're looking at here, that shows the country. And this one focuses in more on the city, which unfortunately this one's a little, my eyes aren't very good anyway. And so as I look at it, I can't see the street names. But we go down Monmouth Boulevard and we go up Broad Street between Steele and Silas. And then King, what I can say now is if you go to King now, you'll go to King next year, unless you're going to fifth grade.
Yeah.
You won't. But that boundary stayed a lot more similar to what it is now, although obviously it brought in the Nielsen's folks too.
Yeah, and a lot of kids it won't change. For instance, to the west, anybody in the country, Westport, now that was right. Already going to Steele anyway, and they will still be going to Steele. So, and the one thing we were talking off there a little about this, and the complaints I hear, I don't understand. I don't know really exactly what the complaints are, because number one, whether it has to do with socioeconomics or whatever, you're gonna have 5 years of that, and they're all gonna be in the same school anyway in junior high. Then they're all gonna be in the same school in high school. I don't understand. And then there's some other arguments saying like, we'll just pull our kids and go to this private school. That's like, so instead of going to a different school, you're going to go to a different school and district.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't understand.
No, I want to be empathetic to everybody's concerns, and I do, and I want to hear everybody's concerns. But the change here was obviously necessary, is necessitated by the closing of the schools. And so we knew, just because change is always difficult, that there were going to be some people that were upset. But what we've said to those folks is just, we're very confident when you start the next school year and you experience that school, whatever school it is, you'll be very happy, because we have great teachers, great staff, great administrators, obviously wonderful kids, so it will be a new thing, but that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It'll just be different.
Well, that's the thing I said earlier. You have great teachers in every school in this community. Now you're going to have more great teachers in fewer buildings.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They'll just be in fewer places.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't understood it. Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. They voted last night on the new boundaries for the schools. This is for the grade schools, and this will start as of next year.
Yeah, barring some crazy weather calamity, which we always have to qualify that statement, but our building projects are on track, so it looks very much like it will start next year.
All right. So one of the things people I know, they will always bring up costs. Where's the money coming from? The updates on the schools. And of course, let me ask you this. Is it going to cost any more in busing? Because some will be going a little bit farther, but the buses were going to be running to every one of those stops anyway.
Right. So what we've said is it may cost more. We don't want to promise something that we can't deliver. A bigger issue we have, and we talked about this at the last two board meetings, is, and I don't blame parents for this. This isn't anybody doing a bad thing, but we have a lot of, if you ever go to our buses and watch them load like I have, and you'll see that especially at the high school and the junior highs, those buses are maybe half full, maybe a third full. Well, when you ask parents at the beginning of the year, are your children ever going to ride the bus? They say yes, because there may come a time where they need to.
Right.
But we find that we could probably pare down our number of buses by 3 to 5 routes if we had accurate counts of people on the bus. So we're trying to figure out a way to incent people to basically tell us, look, we're never going to ride the bus. And if you need to, obviously it's there. It's free service. That's part of the deal. But if you don't ever intend to, you know, we'd love to know that, because then we can not have so many bus routes. So we still say, yeah, we expect to add a few bus routes, but it could come to pass that we don't have to.
But not any more buses running than were, because again, buses were covering all these areas already anyway. And I think also you might be going, the community's not that huge. You're going to be going, what, maybe an extra mile to 2 miles maybe for a child.
Exactly. Yeah, a mile, mile and a half, two miles. Really not much different from anybody more than that, not that we can find. And in some cases, they'll be going closer. And so there aren't a lot of instances where we're going to have somebody traveling a really, really far distance. Now, some of that comes from born of my experience in larger rural districts where we were talking off the air. In my last district, we had one student who lived 35 miles from the school in a straight one-line road. So, it's a matter of perspective. And I get that if you're from here and you've always ever lived in Galesburg, an extra mile is a lot farther. And so we want to be sensitive to that. But at the same time, it is a new reality. We aren't as densely populated with students as we were 20, 30 years ago. And so that necessitated a lot of these building closures just because there aren't the number of students on each block.
Yeah, and, we talked about, United, you're going to be on a bus for a long time. Rova,
yeah.
Farmington, and the big one, the Olympia District, covers, almost a huge part of McLean County, which is the biggest county miles-wise in the state. Then part of what? Tazewell and Mason?
Yeah, it would be part of Mason, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, so students there, they could be on the bus for hour and a half, two hours.
Logan County, too.
Oh, Logan, that's right. Yeah. Logan as well. So it's like, it's not, you got to look at in the big scheme. Yes, maybe it will be different for some students here, but it's not out of the norm. That's for sure.
No, it's definitely doable. It's different. And I understand, and we have talked to many parents who are concerned about the change, and we want to be very sensitive to that. And we've tried to work through issues that parents have with any particular issue with their child. And we're going to address needs as they come up, but we feel very good about the plan.
What were some of the more legitimate concerns that people had with the change?
Well, for instance, one of the very legitimate concerns was some folks now who can walk to school that aren't in a bus riding zone, they don't really have a great place to have a bus stop in their neighborhood. And so with lack of sidewalks in some places and things like that, really trying to figure out how we're going to pick up children where there's not, especially in the winter, great places for them to congregate or how to get to a place to congregate. So that's going to be an issue regarding in the same discussion was how long is my child going to be on a bus? And so for the general population out there, just understand this general truism. The more bus stops you have, the longer your bus route will be. And so if we have more door-to-door service because there aren't bus stops there, it'll be a longer bus ride, but it'll be more door-to-door service. If you want a shorter bus ride, we're going to have more collection points that are bus stops that are maybe 2-3 blocks away. So neither one's right. It's just a matter of, one's good one way and one's good the other way.
Dr. John Aspen, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. One of the things I've noticed each day behind Gail and Rose Hoban Welch, all the posts up getting ready for the solar, and that if you go to the different buildings you're seeing. That's really come along at this point.
Yeah, it's really come along. And, you know, we signed a power purchase agreement last year to start this. And so one of the things that it's widely reported on here. I don't have Facebook, so, you know, I get this stuff from other people. So one of the things that I've been told is out there in social media is talking about how they had to move all the posts at Gale and how that all got – that did happen. It didn't cost the district a cent because the power purchase agreement, the people that put in the solar panels were the ones that put the field 29 feet too far north. And then when they went back and checked it, they realized, oh, that was bad. And so they pulled them all out and moved them. But that didn't cost the district 1 cent. So that is not any cost to the taxpayers here. That was totally borne by the installers.
I didn't notice that, and that was my assumption that they had screwed up. Because, why did they pull all those out? Why are they? And then they were working over the weekend.
Yep.
I remember going to a game, I think that first Saturday, going to the game, and here they were at 5:30 still, hear them pounding them back in.
So. Yep. Yeah, they had to go out there and redo those because they were 29 feet too far to the north. So
oops.
Yeah, whoops. And we'll have those. All those posts are in, and then they'll start putting solar panels in, and everything's supposed to be done by February. We have put in an application to also do this at King. Right now you'd see there isn't one at King. And then at Silas Willard, we're looking at a different plan that because there's not as much green space there, we're trying to figure out a different plan to put in solar panels there. And Silas Willard actually draws a lot more power than a lot of the other buildings because that's our tech hub. So all our internet servers and everything goes through there. So it would really be advantageous if we can get the solar panels there as well.
And you're looking at this pays for itself in what period of time?
Well, so it's a little different than how it worked at Farmington. So when we did it at Farmington, we wrote a grant, and it would have paid for itself in 4 years. Really, we never owned these panels.
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't say never. After 20 years, we have the option to buy them. But we get a reduction in our power bill right off the bat. So basically our power bill is going to be cut in a third the second they're installed. We didn't pay to have them installed, but our power bill will go down by about two-thirds of what it was.
Which, just in general terms, how many, I'm guessing, millions?
it looks like it could be, well, we say it'll be $1 million over 15 years, but it's going to be a lot more.
Yeah. Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. Let's talk a little more construction update. One of the questions I keep forgetting to ask you about, in particular with the possibility of the high school closing next year and that work, John Thiel Gym.
Mm-hmm.
What will happen with games? Because I know one of the things is the entrance to the gym, that's going to be redone as the new entrance for the junior high. So you do have the two doors on the, I guess would be the east side of the building. Gym would still be usable, but the entrance would be like for games and stuff through those doors.
Well, that is TBD right now. We're trying everything we can to keep that circle drive open all during the year so that we can drop students off and so that may still come in on the west. But it could come to pass they come in on the east. But, yeah, the plan right now is for our athletic events to still take place in Thiel next year.
Well, any other work on the classrooms and the hallway down on that end by the gym?
There's going to be work all the way around it. Okay. The locker rooms are going to be redone. Everything. The gym is in great shape. So we're really not touching the gym other than eventually putting some air handling units near there. But we're not really touching the floor, the bleachers. That was all done a few years ago. And so that space isn't really going to be touched per se. But we can phase when we're going to work on those spots that provide access to the gym for a time when there's not volleyball or basketball going on or wrestling going on so that we can do that work at a time when we don't need to be in that gym. Because we don't use that gym during the day for PE anyway. They go to the field house. So it's not really interrupting our daily schedule much at all.
When, as far as the decision on closing, not closing, is that still, obviously you're still talking about that. Do you know when the decision is going to be made?
Well, we'll have a presentation next month, we believe. Anyway, it's pretty much ready to go. But for the board to explain how we believe we can close the building next year, and there still will be potentially, we'll wait and see how it, you know, completely is 100% guaranteed. But we believe we can keep a few spaces open. We're trying very hard to keep some science rooms open, lab spaces, and since you can get a different access point over there on the northeast side. But beyond that, we believe we can vacate the rest of the building for the year and show how we can do that. And so the plan is still going forward to try to do that and vacate the building as much as we can. Yeah.
What about as far as, you know, with the rest of the building being gone, offices, administration, that are in the building? Where?
Yeah, they'd be housed out in the where the students are as well, which is good. I mean,
the outhouses, is that what you said? They're going to be an outhouse. Jeff Houston in an outhouse.
Don't say that. Now, come on. Someone's going to come out of this room.
I'm sorry. That came from Tom.
Tom Meredith said
that
they have outhouses.
That did not come from Dr. Adler.
We are not doing that. Yeah, I shouldn't use those two together. So we are going to have the students relocated to mobile classroom pods out on the runway, the strip out there, the old runway of the airport. And then Gail and Rose Hoban-Welch and Wycall in the field house. So we will have administrators interspersed throughout all those sites so that there's always somebody around that can supervise what's going on in that area.
All right. Anything else, Nick, that stuck out from you from the meeting last night?
Talked about property taxes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what, of course, a lot of people, with all this construction, I'll go, obviously our taxes are going to go up. Let's hear it.
Yeah, no, they're not. No, our tax rate is staying constant. Mm-hmm. And so we are doing everything we can to not raise taxes. And we have projected out the savings for what it will be when we can ultimately close three buildings. Right now it's two. And there's a lot of operational savings that go into those. So through some of that, we are undertaxing some areas because we feel like we can use our reserves for a while, and then over time the costs in those areas will be lower, so we won't have to tax as much in those areas. And then we did have to raise our tax level in bond and interest to pay for the construction, but we offset any increase in that with a reduction in other areas. So the tax rate last 2 years and this year will be the same.
But also it's so much dependent on the state as well, and with change in the funding model. Okay, so far so good.
So far so good. And you know, we're very thankful that we got that, because if we hadn't gotten that, we'd be in a whole different conversation. I mean, that really saved us, having them change the model to allow for higher state levels of contribution for schools with a lot of poverty, which, you know, we are one of those schools. So we've been very thankful for that. And as the state's economy goes up and down, you know, we're gonna ride that out a little bit. But I will say, with the new model that's in place, the way it used to work, okay, and how it worked for 30, 40 years, was if the state was in trouble, they would prorate everybody's state aid, and they'd say, okay, you're all getting prorated at, you know, 82% or 75%. Well, that's all well and good. Like, if I was at a district up in the suburbs where we got 94% of our funding from local property taxes, and you prorate my 6%, okay, I didn't even care if I got it. But if we're at 80% state funding and you prorate me, yeah, you killed me. I mean, you can't do that. And so the way the state does it now is they're in tiers. So the poorest districts are in tiers 1 and 2. And then basically how that works is if the state is short on funds, tiers 3 and 4 don't get any money because they already have enough money through their local property taxes. So the tier 1 and 2 people are really protected a lot more. So there's a lot more insulation right now for us to make sure that we're not having these wild swings in our revenue from the state. So I feel really good about the short-term and relatively near-term future of the school district financially, for sure.
Any chance of ever seeing any back pay for those proration years of that money you didn't get? My guess is no, but I just thought I'd ask the question.
Yeah, I'll look for that about the same time the Bears win the Super Bowl.
There you go. Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining this morning. John, anything else you want to hit on before we wrap up here this morning?
Well, I always appreciate the opportunity to come in, and, you know, I feel like, you know, the things that we hear, the grumblings out in the community, and I want to address some of those that, you know, it's like, hey, there seems to be a lack of long-term planning here. Like, you just kind of keep changing the plan. And I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, I guess that's fair to a certain extent, in that we said from the beginning we had a concept and then we were going to have to get input from people all along the way. And and what I've said to people individually, and I'd like to say to everybody in a broader audience here, is we could have either had all this advanced planning done and not taken anybody's input, or we could have had a little bit of a messier process and taken a lot of input. And so we've decided, and we're very happy we did, that we said, you know, we're going to take more input, and it's going to be a little bit messier, because we keep saying we're building the bridges we walk on it here. And so always going to try to go the path of getting as much input as we can. And so when it looks like we don't really have our act together, that's not really true. We've always had the big concept, but the finer detail points we're trying to build as we go through this. And we believe very strongly that after it's over, people will feel a lot better about it because they're going to get great schools for all the kids to go to physically. They've already been great schools educationally, but now physically we'll have great schools for every child. And, you know, when we started this process 2.5 years ago of saying what the community wanted, they were very clear that they wanted equal educational spaces for all children. And we've set about doing that work. And so we feel like when we have a chance to look back a few years from now and say, you said you wanted this, we delivered it, and we've done it in a way so we didn't raise your property taxes too. And, you know, I think people in the long run are going to be very pleased with this. And we understand a lot of angst right now because it's change, and change is hard. But, you know, this district survived closing 11 schools in 1 year back in the 80s. You know, this is, you know, we've been able to do it before. We're going to do it again. And we feel like we're really far down the road now in the process, and we feel really good about it. And we feel like we've been able to do what we said we were going to do from the beginning. And if people have concerns, you know, they can always come to board meetings. They can always come meet with me individually or whatever they want to do. That's, you know, we are trying to be as accessible as humanly possible. And our board members have put in, I don't even know, hundreds of extra hours, you know, for no pay. And, you know, they never complain. They just keep doing it. And I'm so thankful for them. And, you know, we really feel great about it and understand that it's just a lot for people to absorb right now. And, you know, I just always choose to look at it as, okay, it's a short-term problem, but the long-term benefit's going to be so much better. So we just keep our eyes on that.
Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us this morning. John, thank you as always.
Thank you.